Another part of the president's agenda is spreading democracy abroad. That goal could be affected by the growing competition for crude oil. Oil prices have been falling this week, but analysts predict that the growing demand could keep prices on a general upward trend. Supplies are expected to remain tight, and that could get in the way of the president's agenda because some of the biggest oil suppliers have governments that fall far short of democratic standards. NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
The world's oil problem is this. The two countries with the most people, China and India, also have the two fastest-growing economies. That means they'll be needing to buy a lot more oil in the coming years. The Energy Department estimates that 15 years from now, the world will need 40 million more barrels each day over today's levels. That's half again as much. But oil analyst Stephen Leeve says the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, is already producing about as much as it's capable of producing, so the demand for oil may exceed the available supply.
OPEC, over the last 20 years, has not managed to add any additional capacity. So we're in a world today where we know we're going to need a vast amount of additional energy, and we're utterly dependent on countries that in the past generation have added absolutely no additional capacity.
Leeb says this is why oil prices have increased fivefold in the last 6 years and will continue to rise. He says oil could easily reach $150 a barrel in the next few years. A price rise like that would hit the U.S. economy hard, but the political repercussions of an oil shortage could be just as significant. The United States would find itself competing with China and other countries for scarce oil supplies. Jonathan Isle of the Royal United Services Institute in London notes that China has already begun to orient its foreign and defense policies around the goal of securing access to oil in the first place by moving closer to countries that can supply its growing oil needs.
The Chinese are engaged not merely in the operation of procuring the oil that they need for the moment, but they do want to ensure that they've got a system of alliances, political alliances around the world, that allows them to guarantee their own supplies and precludes the United States from the possibility of cutting off their supplies.
China's moves in this regard could seriously complicate U.S. foreign policy. The United States, for example, wants to isolate Iran right now because of concerns over its apparent nuclear weapons program. But China is set to sign a $70 billion gas and oil deal with Tehran. Gal Luff, director of the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security, says the deal means China would likely veto any U.S. attempt to get the United Nations Security Council to approve sanctions against Iran.
Similar things happened with Sudan when the U.S. wanted to impose sanctions on Sudan because of its human rights violations in Darfur. The Chinese blocked this again because they have very strong oil interests in Sudan.
The Chinese are also moving closer to Saudi Arabia and Russia, and in this hemisphere have signed oil deals with Canada, Cuba, and Venezuela. Gal Luft points out that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez seems determined to redirect his country's oil business away from the United States and toward China.
This is beyond rhetoric. This is true oil deals that are being signed, and Chavez has said many times that he wants to liberate Venezuela from its dependence on what he sees as America's control over his oil market.
With China becoming a major oil player and India close behind, the United States is losing some of its political clout in the oil world. Jonathan Isle points out that the oil-producing countries are becoming less dependent on U.S. business.
And it is clear that countries will increasingly use the China card in order to oppose any political demands from the United States, especially on questions such as human rights or indeed cooperation in the war against international terrorism.
Under the circumstances, President Bush and his administration may soon have to choose between the goal of securing oil supplies and the goal of promoting democracy. To make matters worse, the countries with the most oil are, in many cases, the countries most in need of democratic reform. Elliot Cohen of the Johns Hopkins University says oil riches often have a corrupting effect on a country.
One of the insidious parts of this is those countries which have ample oil resources, in a period when prices are going up, have an enormous amount of cash which allows them to be very responsible about how they run their economies, about what they do abroad, and also about how their internal politics ends up being run. You get the politics of corruption and of payoffs and so forth. And it's very, very hard to do anything about that from the outside.
Cohen, who's a member of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board, says if the United States really wants to work for democracy abroad and still protect its strategic interests, it'll need to reduce its dependence on imported oil. In fact, some of the most outspoken advocates of energy conservation these days are basing their arguments on national security needs, not environmental concerns. But Cohen doubts the country recognizes the seriousness of the oil challenge in the years ahead. Unfortunately, he says, I think it's going to take a crisis to get us to deal with what really is a very large security issue. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.